Everyone. My iPad has decided to that it doesn't want me to speak through it this morning. So if you could just put it there, that'd be great. Thank you. I want to take you back to Genesis. Genesis, where God breathed into Adam the breath of life. Now, in the Hebrew, God was known as Yahweh. That's the best way we can actually pronounce it. But it means breathe in and breathe out. So if you think for a minute, God breathed out and he breathed into Adam. So Adam had God's life in him. And when you stop breathing, you take another breath in a different place, which is our permanent home. But you realize the power that God's put in the human breath. I can say to you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you, but and nobody feels peace. Because I'm just scratching and I've probably caused you to feel a little uncomfortable. Now, I can draw it up from inside. My peace, I give unto you. My peace. And that changes the atmosphere immediately. And so we need to learn something, the power of our words, the power of that's inside of our breath. So you don't just sing in the name of Jesus as though you're invoking somebody from outside. But you say in the name of Jesus. And as you breathe out his love and his power and everything that he has. And God's put that in us. So the next question is, why doesn't it work? Well, there's one or two reasons for this. Do you remember Jesus, when he was just beginning his ministry, he went to some strange places to get disciples. His first two were fisher people who had faith naturally, because sometimes they would go out and catch a lot, sometimes they would go out and catch nothing, but they didn't get all bent out of shape when they caught nothing. They just went principle in those people. And then he got hold of a tax collector, which would really upset the apple cart, because Peter could no longer say, I've caught them this big, without having to pay taxes. And so God's got this sense of humor. He's got ordinary people that he wants to realize they're all extraordinary. They're not ordinary at all. That they've got the life of God within them, and God wants to get it out so that the world can see it. And it's so easy, because what Jesus did was he walked around and did miracles accompanied by 12 people that were mesmerized by his, not just his teaching, but by his actions. Wow, that person got healed. That person got healed. Do you remember the story where the man got lowered down through the roof and all the disciples would have been there, and they wouldn't have been very happy. Because where do you think the roof went when the hole was created? It went down all over the people that were in the house group. It could have been the final house group ever. Because I'm not going to another house group. The roof might collapse. But they watched Jesus work. And he worked with what was in front of him. And he said, I can see you're on a bed. I can see you being lowered down. You've got friends up there that haven't run away yet, but they're about to, because somebody's going to come up with the idea. Think of the cost of repairing this roof. Who's going to pay for it? But this man's lying there helpless, and Jesus says, cheer up. At the moment, the man is embarrassed. He feels humiliation. He feels fear. He could get stoned to death for breaking up somebody's Ruth. At the very least, he's going to get sued, and he hasn't got any money himself because he's given all to the doctors, but he's no better. And then Jesus says, cheer up, and something inside him changes, and he feels happy. Why does he suddenly feel happy? Because Jesus spoke a spirit-filled word. And that word creates. You can have no peace and then suddenly feel peace. Because you create it. You create it by breathing out the God that lives within you. How many people have got Jesus living inside them? How many people are filled with the Holy Spirit? Okay. Where's the Father? Do you think he's up there? Or do you think he's in Christ? Therefore, in you. So you've got God living in you. And he just wants to come out. But when Jesus chose all the disciples, they didn't do any miracles until something happened. And in Luke 9, you'll find out that Jesus loaned them the Holy Spirit. And he said, I want you to go into all the places I haven't been. And if you go into a house that's worthy, heal the sick that are in the house. He didn't say pray for them, he said heal them. So how could they know that God would heal? Because now they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were now baptized with the Holy Spirit. And God says, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So it's not Ian Andrews who has a gift of healing. I wish. One, I'd use it on myself. And if I had another one, I'd give it away. But there's no such thing as the gift of healing. In the Bible, if you read it carefully, it says gifts of healings. And that means the sick person receives the gift. So if you think about it, God wants you to be the postman, and he wants you to deliver his parcel to the correct address, which is a rarity these days, especially in Somerset. We have a charred Facebook group which is very interesting. It says, I've got so-and-so's parcel. Where do you live? And it's all over the place. Well, at least God knows where to give the gift. But do you see that God wants his church to wake up to the idea that they don't have to wait any longer for a massive outpouring of the Holy Spirit that may not ever come, because God wants to bring the church to the fullness of the stature of Christ. And he can do that very simply by telling you, you get filled with the Holy Spirit and then leak and give it away. So it says, well, I've laid hands on the sick before and they haven't been healed. So have I. So have I. But I have seen hundreds of thousands of people healed all over the world just because I went. Just because I stood up, made a fool of myself, and sort of preached the same message over and over and over again in various forms. But at the end of it, God comes because he wants to heal people. But he didn't send me here to give you a demonstration on healing. He sent me here to equip you. And it's what you decide to do with it is going to decide where this church is going to be in 6 months' time. Because if you think, well, I can't do this, it's not me, join the club. Everybody feels that way. Think how the disciples felt when Jesus said, I'm sending you out where I haven't been, and so you're not competing with my reputation at all. but just go and heal a few people. And they came back and said, the demons were subject to us. Jesus said, just hang on a minute. The only reason they were subject is because your name's written in heaven. They're not subject because you think you've suddenly come into a power ministry. The only reason they're subject is because your name is written. Yeah, but we saw blind eyes open. Wonderful. That's what it's all about. The kingdom of God is increasing in momentum all the time. I have a friend called Bill Johnson. I know he's a little bit controversial at the moment, but he's one of the most godly men I've ever met. And he says, don't major on minors. Major on majors. Yeah, but Pastor Bill, I don't know where to go. He said, pick a place. Go into all the world means find a place. Well, seems like you found Bradford-on-Avon. Okay. Now, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. In Bradford-on-Avon. It's so easy, really, because it's impossible. You can't do it, I can't do it. But God says, do it anyway in my name and I'll make it work. It's a mystery. And it's a romance that we've started to enjoy. It's a romance with God our Father. I mean, some Christians get really upset over things like, I don't just want to go to heaven, I want to bring heaven to earth. You'd almost think that's heresy, judging by some people's reaction. Except that Jesus said, this is how you pray. Our Father. What do you mean? Do you mean God is your Father, Jesus? No, he's our Father. We have a relationship with the God of the universe. The one who didn't come into existence, he always existed. I think that's the problem that we have sometimes, that we don't realize God's always existed. It's like, if there was a time he started, I could understand this. I could get my mind around it. But he's always been there. And he loves us to distraction. And of course, in the King James, you've got this duality of God where he's angry and then he's loving. And he's the Father that we've never had. And if you've had a bad father relationship, then you're always looking for this mysterious being called Father. And you wonder what he's like. Is he going to take you to the woodshed? Is he going to beat you with few stripes or many? And yet, it's kind of got messed up over the years. And you talk about backward. That fiery love is creative. It is not destructive. And all God says, take this message. I so love the world. It's not them and us. It's that God so loves the world that he wants us to share that message with the world. It's amazing. A long time ago now, God spoke to me about children. And I had one of these crazy prophets that you sometimes get that kind of itinerate everywhere. And I'm sitting in the meeting and they say, stand up. So you stand up and you think, I wonder what's coming next. And I was like, you're going to be like the Pied Piper of Hamelin. Children are going to be running to you and they're going to be flocking around you. And I'm thinking, then I was nearly 60. And I thought, children think I'm a dinosaur already. This can't happen. This isn't going to happen. And I tell you what I did. I said, well, Lord, if this is of you, you've got to bring it to pass because it's ridiculous to me. And shortly afterwards, I'm in a revival. And the Lord says, I want to use the children tonight. And being me, I sort of said, Lord, we've got the Spirit of God here like a cloud that is just encompassed everything and everybody. And we children, Lord, this is not a good idea. And the Lord said, and I'm sure he's an Englishman, actually, because he spoke in a very English way to me. He said, I just need the use of your mouth, not your opinion. So we called all the children out, gave them a high five. I didn't impart an anointing to them. I just said, go get the people. If this is what God wants, then let God show us that a little child shall lead you. And the children created havoc in the church for the next hour and a half. They jumped over the pews. They prayed for kind of all the adults. And it was chaos. The children were having a mighty time. And the rest of the church was trying to grapple with what's happening. But afterwards, I said, now, okay, everybody sit back down. And if there's anybody got healed, and you know you're healed, do not come out and tell me, I know I will be healed. Because if you do, I will give the laying on of hands a new meaning. I will strangle you. And 400 people stood up. And I was like, no, it can't possibly be. No. Even Benny Hinn with 20,000, if he gets 100, it's a good night. We had 400 from kids praying. So it was like, no, this can't be right. Sit back down, listen to what I'm saying to you. If you come out and pretend to be healed or think you might be healed because little grandson prayed for you, I will strangle you. But if you are physically, manifestly, physically healed, come on out. The same 400 came out. The first elderly lady got hold of the microphone and she said, I don't know if I'm healed. And I went like this. And everybody laughed. But she said, no, just wait a minute. Two little girls said to me, Grandma, do you have cotton wool balls in your lungs? Oh, yes. Yes, she said, that's what it's like. Actually, it was multiple cancerous tumors filling both lungs. And she said, they just put their hands on me and said, Jesus, take these cotton wool balls out of Grandma's lungs. Amen. And leapt over the pew, pray for somebody else. Because they didn't want to take too long with everybody. If God's going to do it, be done suddenly, be done quickly. And so what the lady said was, fire went through my lungs. All the pressure in the lungs dissolved. But I don't know if I'm healed, because I haven't been to the doctors. So 6 weeks later, she's at the doctors, and he's a Jewish doctor. And he's really, really worried now because he's charged her $100,000 for the surgery, and there's no operation scar. He's ever been there. And so he's thinking, I'm going to get sued now, and I'm going to lose $100,000. Whereas what she actually said to him, well, it was Jesus that touched me. The Jesus, you don't believe it. It wasn't the two kids, was it? It was just two little kids that were invoking the love of the Father to come and heal. And so the next guy is about 6'4", and his pants are this much up both legs. And healing meetings attract funny people sometimes. You just have to put up with it. But it was so funny because he said, I'm taller than when I came in. I thought, well, that's the reason your pants are this. Okay. He said, I've got a rod in my spine. And for 20 odd years, I've been bent like this because I can't straighten. And he said, two little boys touched me and fire went down my back and I'm taller than when I came in. This was kids. Shortly afterwards, I'm speaking in a church in Birmingham, in the UK, and a 98-year-old man puts his hand up and says, could I have a word of knowledge before I die? I'm thinking, if he has a word of knowledge, it might kill him. Because he's never had one before. So he comes out and he says, well, I'd really like to have one word of knowledge before I die. And I'm thinking, oh, help, Lord, help, help, help. And when you cry help, he helps. I said, okay, now this is how the word of knowledge works. Close your eyes. So he closes his eyes. I said, can you see the shape of a man or a woman? He says, no. I say, well, I've put a thought into your mind, man, and behind every noun, God has inbuilt a picture. So either you hear the name man or you see the shape of a man. Either you hear woman you actually see that it's a lady's shape. So he says, it's a woman. Okay. What color hair has she got today? Because you have to say today because you never know. And he said, I don't know, white. Where did white come from? I don't know. You see, he's learning how God communicates with us. But he's 98 years old and he doesn't want to go to heaven unless he's had one word of knowledge. So here we go. Okay, how old is she? I have no idea, 60. Okay, where did that come from? I don't know. Well, do you believe it could be God or not? This is the point. He's asked for a word of knowledge. God is giving him pictures and thoughts. Now he's got a choice. Do I believe it or do I think I'm making it all up? And even though you think you're making it all up, you'll discover that you're not. That's the way it works. And so I said, do you know what's wrong with the lady? He says, not a clue. A really helpful guy. So I said, have you ever been in an MRI machine? So he says, oh, yes. So I said, well, put this woman who you can't see but you've described in an MRI machine. And the funniest thing took place then because he started like this. I can't go any lower. Okay, where did he stop? At the heart. Okay, let's put it all together. We have a lady here. She's 60 years old. She's got white hair. And she's got a heart problem. If you'd like to be healed, put your hand up. And this is the moment of no return. This is the moment where you drown or walk on water, one of the two. And one lady put her hand up and said, it's me. And so he's 98 years old, and he's walking toward her, his hand on her tits, right? So I take hold of his hand. I said, you can put it on the lady's head. God knows where the heart is. And it was so funny because she slid under three rows of chairs under the power of God. Now he comes back. Totally different. He'd lost 20 years of his life. Could I do another one? I said, yes, God's not short of them. You can do another one. So I said, okay, let's go through it again. Can you? Yes, I see the shape of a woman. How old is she? 40 years old. This is coming out of him now. 40 years old. What's wrong with her? And then he goes, oh, I've done something terribly wrong. And I'm thinking at 90-something, you can't have lust, surely. It's all died in men by the time they get to that old age. But then the lady in the second row that's 40 years old and blonde stands up and says, I've just been healed of almost a lifetime of depression. This time he didn't even get to touch her. We've got to rethink who God uses, because God wants to use every one of us. I was in a meeting in East London. It was in a Tamil church, really big East African Tamil church. And it had Hindus there, and it had Sikhs there, and it had Muslims there, and it had a few Christians and quite a few pagans as well. So it was an interesting service. And I said something really stupid. And I could have been knifed straight away from what I said. I said, we've got Muslims here, we've got Sikhs here, we've got Hindus here, and we've got Christians here. I know the Hindus worship certain gods. And we worship the God that created the others, the monkeys and the elephant gods. And it was like the place froze because I just upset every other religion in the place. And I'm thinking, oh God, do something. You know, I'm not ready to die yet. Get me out of here. And God landed on a Muslim lady that was in a wheelchair. And it was wonderful because she said, I can feel my body, I can feel my body. She screamed out. All the attention went away from what I had said onto this lady. And it was so good. God was good. So I now know what God is going to do. Have you ever had those feelings? You know what God's going to do? You don't have a clue. I didn't have a clue. I thought, I know what God's going to do. I'm going to walk up to the wheelchair, going to command the lady to rise in the name of Jesus. All the Muslims, Sikhs, and Hindus are going to get saved. Great plan, God. Great plan. I walk up to the lady, and she says, I haven't felt my body in 22 years. I'm a quadriplegic. I cannot feel my body, but now I can. So I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be great. And, okay, can I just touch you in a few places? Would that be all right? She said, sure. So can you feel that? Yes. Can you feel this? 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 No. Oh. So she's 3/4 healed. Obviously, the spinal column's been reconnected because she's got feelings. But she still can't walk. And then God spoke to me and said, pray for trauma and pray for shame. So I commanded any trauma that she had in her body to leave and all shame to go. And then I went down and pinched her big toe. I said, can you feel this? She said, that hurt. And I didn't really pinch it very hard. But now she's ready to get up and walk, isn't she? And I'm doing the biblical thing. Smiling, because evangelists are supposed to smile in these tense times. And the Holy Spirit says, what do you think you're doing? I said, well, I'm going to get her out of the wheelchair. And the Holy Spirit said, why? I said, well, you just healed her. It's obvious. Why? And when the Holy Spirit goes after you, you might as well surrender at first stop. Because if you don't, he'll go to second, third, or fourth base, but he'll get you to surrender. Why? Well, I want to, yes, that's the reason. You want people to see you getting the woman out of the wheelchair that you didn't heal, but I did. Yeah, but it says in the Bible, rise and be healed. God said, I know, I wrote it. Leave her in the wheelchair. I think, Lord, you're missing a wonderful testimony. No. If you pray for people in wheelchairs and leave them sitting in there, I'll get them out. And we've had so many people get out of wheelchairs since that day that it's quite shocking. What's God after? Demonstrating his love to somebody who's sick. Not giving a man false impressions of what he's capable of doing. About a week later, the pastor of the church called me and said, do you know the background to that story? I said, no. He said, well, that lady came from Pakistan. And she had an... Her parents had told her, we've met this man, he's your fiancé, you're going to marry him. He's worthy, he's great, he's perfect. And because she's been brought up in Islam, she was convinced that if her parents said that this was the man for her, this was the man for her. And so she flew from Pakistan into London, and she thought, well, I won't tell him I'm coming. I'll surprise him. He'll be so excited to meet me as I am to meet him. And when she got to the apartment block, the door was open, so she walked in. It was on the second floor, and she saw her fiancé in bed with another lady. And so she was so confused and so damaged that she ran at the window and fell out of the second story window, landed on the concrete, broke her spinal column, and the shame was she couldn't even kill herself properly. She was now a cripple for 22 years, paralyzed, but still alive. And what God did, he took the trauma out, he took the shame out, and the next morning, she's running around town. She's totally healed and restored. And God got all the glory. And that's what it's all about. So you can be a servant, and you just sort of say, well, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. Great. Well, then you're qualified. Because it's not you, it's the Holy Spirit within you that comes out. So how do you get the Holy Spirit out? Well, according to Jesus, you lay hands on the sick. But if you've been in sort of Pentecostal healing meetings, you wonder how anybody gets healed because the hand comes down hard on you. And you start with a migraine, end up with a slipped disc or a crushed spine. It's not by might nor by power. So the lighter you touch, the more power can flow through the connection. If you want to pass a high voltage current through something, you have to have a low resistance cable. You are the low resistance cable. You don't need to raise your voice. You don't need to shout. You don't need to lay hands on them as though something magical happens. It does, but it's independent of us. All God needs is a connection from them to you and from you to them. So you lay hands on them very gently. Like you would stroke a puppy. No pressure. Be healed in Jesus' name. And then as you've got blood flowing to your fingertips, you now start to believe, well, the Holy Spirit's filling me. He can flow through me. And let the Holy Spirit flow through you. So I don't know what the time is, but... Okay. I've said a lot in a short time, so that's good. Let's practice and see what we get. Okay, all those people that need prayer.